Very hard to preach from a chair. Matthew chapter 7, if you would. I'll just pay the price later, probably. Matthew chapter 7. We'll talk about my condition tonight. We won't talk about it this morning. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, if you would. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Jesus preaching. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's pray. Thank you for these very sober words, Lord. Help us take them to heart. Help me to expound them. Help me, Father, make the message plain and clear. May the Holy Spirit send it as the arrows into the hearts of those who are here. Lord, we didn't come here to be pampered. We didn't come here to be entertained. We came here to be challenged and spoken to by the living God. When you speak, it's an awesome thing. The Bible tells us very clearly, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We should fear to mock your word. We should fear to ignore your word. We should fear to laugh at your word. We wouldn't mock at our Father if he called us in for correction. At least the Father I had, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have ignored his word when he spoke to me. Not when my Father called me in. Not when he, in concern for my character, in concern for my future, spoke soberly to me. I'd listen soberly, and I trust I would take heed, and I trust that you're a great God and greatly eclipse the authority and respect due to our fathers. May we give you good heed, because this is thy word, and you're speaking to us. Confirm it in our souls with the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed that life seems to be overwhelmingly complex? Do you ever wonder why that was so? Why we're faced with so many decisions? Those decisions seem to become more difficult every year. In fact, there become more of them every year, it seems. I don't know where they all come from. And oftentimes we try to figure out what in the world we're going to do. We're often overwhelmed with the effort to sort it all out. I think the reason for the complexity of life today is that men do not live by principles. When you live by a set of principles, they guard you. They hedge you in. They limit your choices. In fact, as your principles are your choices. And because they're made and settled concerning the major issues of life, everything falls inside the framework. Everything outside the framework, you just ignore. You know it's not going to according to your principle. Then you make the decision in light of your principle. But sadly, very, very few people live that way, including most Christians. Our day is the day of there is no authority. There are no established truths. There is no set moral order. There are no absolutes. Since there are no absolutes and man is simply an animal, then he can decide every issue for himself because there are no principles. There really are no principles. The principles you think are good for you are good for you. The ones that I think are good for me are good for me. And they don't have to be necessarily the same. It doesn't matter because everyone can choose for himself. And it's only when you live like that that you have problems with a multitude of decisions facing you all the time because you haven't made the basic decisions to live by principle. For those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the principles of life are established, unmovable, and eternal, and found inside the pages of the King James Bible. Found inside these pages, period. Plus nothing. As I said, they're established. They're unmovable. They're eternal. They apply exactly the same today as they did in the day when God gave them. I don't care how modern society is or what kind of gadgets we have to play with. As Danny said this morning, human nature doesn't change. And neither does truth. Falsehood is falsehood, and the same falsehood that the devil used to attack the disciples in Jesus' day is exactly the same falsehood being used to deceive many today. As I've said so many times, why should it change it? It's very effective. But let me ask you, how do you make decisions? Does this settle it? No matter how you feel, or your wife feels, or your children feel, or how it affects you financially, or what kind of difficulties it puts, is it settled by this book? Well, I hate to say it, this is a good crowd here, but for most of you, it only settles it most of the time. Most of the time. When self-will rises to its extreme, everything goes out the window. And you act like the toddlers in the nursery. You've got to have your way no matter what. And you'll have it if you have to bite and kick and scream. And no one would know you from an unregenerate heathen when it comes to your behavior on the issue that you won't settle by principle. Every action and decision for a believer is considered in the light of this book, the eternal Word of God, and God calls this the way of truth. It's also called the way of righteousness, and in our text, it's called the way, verse 14, which leadeth unto life. Notice T-H-E. You know the difference between T-H-E and A? A way of life, the way of life. Do you know the difference? The only one, exclusive. No other. A, anyone. No, it's the way of life, and that way of life is obedience to the truth, the way of truth. And the Lord Jesus made the choices simple. This message that the Lord preached, it's the epitome of simplicity. Veiling tremendous profundity. The profound truths that are here are put forth in such a simple way. Just simple little short words. Words that a child can grasp. Enter ye in at the straight gate. You say, well, what's straight? Well, I know we've thrown our language away. Maybe you don't know what that word means. We're going to define it in a few minutes. But other than that, that's pretty simple. Most of you have a toddler that understands basically and you say, go through that door into your room. He knows exactly what you're saying and he can do it. And so the Lord makes it clear in this text that in spite of us thinking that we're faced with a multitude of decisions, we're really only faced with two. Faced with two. We're only faced with two. Two choices, two real choices. Every man or woman will choose one of these two. Oh, you say, people are going all kinds of ways. Oh, yeah, that's true. There's a wide gate where you can go all kinds of ways. You're really only entering the one of the two. Two gates. Jesus said all men were confronted with two gates. One is wide. One is straight or narrow. One is wide, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. Now Jesus said one was easy to enter. It's wide. It's not restricted. It's not hard to get into. It's wide. It's broad. It's a broad way, verse 13. I always read that and I think about how the place of debauch is Broadway. It's always been connected with avant-garde productions of nakedness and perversity. Always. Broadway. They knew the right name. Amen. I don't think that was a coincidence. I think when New York was originally designed and laid out, it was a big street, and that's why they called it Broadway. But it's earned its name, and it's worthy of its name. And this is a place for the broad-minded, the liberal thinker. There's plenty of room for every opinion and every attitude and every thought. Why, they're all accepted on an equal basis in the broad way. All of them are of equal value. The attitude of the prostitute and her way of living is just as productive and valuable as a disciplined brain surgeon. All things are equal, you know, on the broad way. Nobody's superior. Nobody's better than... It's egalitarianism all the way. It's called the French Revolution, if you please. In this way, there are no rules. There's nothing straight, and I'm not talking about straight, I'm talking about straite. There's nothing straight, restrained about this gate. There are no moral absolutes here. Everyone makes their own rule. Dress as you please. Talk as you please. Live as you please. That's the very spirit that I fight against endlessly in this place. Because it's the spirit of the age. Nobody's even going to tell me what sex I am. Even my biological features are not going to tell me that. I'll do as I please. I'll be a woman and be a husband and raise children, and I'll be the man of the house. That's what they say. Of course, we know that's ludicrous. I'm not going to say it. About to say something, but I'm not going to say it. I don't think that was of the Lord. I think that was Dennis Morris, and I think I need to keep it myself. But you can do as you please. How appealing. It's come as you are and do as you please. God Almighty is a great God, but he doesn't do any respect. Treat him the same way you would the janitor of the school. It's all the same. Don't give God any respect. Just do as you please. Come into his presence as if he's nobody and nothing. Treat him with disdain. That's the day we live in today. It's the Broadway where everything is accepted. It's like Mardi Gras at New Orleans. There are no limits. It's wide. I want you to notice there's plenty of room for every belief. It's the truly ecumenical gate. The latest gathering, the National Council of Churches, or in the World Council of Churches, Bishop Tutu made an opening address to which he got a standing ovation. And he said, we're all the same here. The so-called straight and the gay, the so-called straight. Notice his terminology. Notice his work. He said, President Bush and Osama bin Laden, we're all equal and all welcome here. I'd call that the wide gate. Wouldn't you? It's a popular gate, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. It's the popular way. It's the way most everyone chooses. You enter it without a thought. You just go along with the crowd. You just do what's popular. You just dress like the world dresses, talk like the world talks, and get involved in every activity of theirs, no matter how degenerate. Just do it because everybody's doing it. And certainly it's got to be all right if everybody's doing it. No judgment here, no condemnation, no correction. Frankly, I wonder if some of you don't long for some of that down deep in your soul. Maybe you haven't actually gone there, but you'd like to. Maybe you're really not in that gate, but you'd kind of like to have it a little broader. By the way, I want you to notice who is preaching here. Who's preaching? Does anybody know? I wonder who he is. Do you know anything? Do you have any authority to speak? Some fly-by-nighter. Some poor, uninformed redneck. Who is it putting forth the dogmatisms? As I said, the old lost nature that I say people have doesn't want to be restricted. It gets weary with rules and instructions and demands. And I ought not to have to struggle against your old nature. You ought to be struggling against it if you're a true Christian. If it takes you over to ruin you. One is wide and one is straight. Notice the word, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight, S-T-R-A-I-T-E. Let me define it for you. Jesus Christ speaking. Enter into the close, strict, rigorous, difficult, distressful gate. I didn't say it! Just repeating. It's not my doctrine! It is. I'm just calling your attention to it. Jesus said, enter into the strict, rigorous, difficult, and distressful gate. Ugh. Who wants that? Who wants to be restrained? Who wants it strict and rigorous? Some silly 17-year-old who thinks he's tough and joins the Marine Corps and doesn't know what he's getting into. Doesn't take him long to find out. This is a very narrow gate. Enter in at the straight gate. Wide's the gate. Broad's the way that leads to destruction. Many to be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. I know! The ecumenicalists and the liberals will pull their hair out. You'll never hear them preach this passage. They can't. It's impossible. It's not broad. It's close. There's no room for deviation. It's narrow. You've got to get in that very narrow way if you're going to please God. It's a very difficult gate to enter. Verse 14. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that found it. That find it. You've got to find it. The broad way, you're in it. You don't have to find it. You're in it. You're just born in it. You're born a sinner. You're born self-willed. You're born going your own way. You're born doing your own thing. That's why your parents spent 18 years trying somehow to teach you enough maturity to control and behave yourself. I'll tell you, some of your parents didn't do a very good job, or else you sure were good at fucking them. You never did grow up, some of you. That's why you get so angry when someone tries to teach you self-control and maturity. Really, ladies and gentlemen, there's only two ways to keep the world from going into chaos. One is control yourself, and the other is have a police state control you. America's was great because it was filled with Christians who were taught character as children. They learned how to restrain themselves, and they learned how to treat their fellow human beings according to the principles of the Word of God, which they had no authority to abuse or run over or ignore. Love one another, as the Bible said. And they didn't need laws to restrain them from murder and rape and pillage and chaos. But since men can't control themselves, we're going to have a police state soon. What else are you going to do? I could talk about the communist tactics of causing trouble in the streets so the government comes more repressive. And because the government's more repressive, then there's more chaos in the streets. And because the chaos in the streets gets more radical, then the government has to get more radical to suppress it. And we give it more power to do so because we're terrified about going in the streets. And pretty soon we have totalitarianism. And that's the communist formula for overthrowing a country. And I can show it to you all the way back to 1919. And it's very effective. We're headed that way. But anyway, I don't want to get off in all that. That's politics. But I want to say, this is a difficult gate to enter. We're born in the wide way. We're born resisting and arguing and fighting and grasping and criticizing and undermining and slandering. Only a transformation through the grace of the living God, filling us with a spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, and yielding to Him can ever change any of that. It's very straight. It's not the obvious way. It's the narrow way. It's a place of inflexible doctrine and strict moral behavior. Strict. Remember, that was one of the definitions of straight. Well, here's the definition of strict. Severe, rigorous, governed or governing by exact rule. I want you to know when you enter in that gate, you bring strict rules on yourself because you want to please Him. Not to get to heaven, because you want to please Him. Amen? You bring yourself under rigorous, exact rules. They're only rigorous because the world hates them. They're really not so bad. In fact, is there good? It's wonderful. You know, I got up this morning, I grieved because I wasn't an alcoholic and had to have a drink, and it just really bothered me because I didn't have to have a cigarette, and I was so troubled that I didn't have to go out and knock somebody in the head and get money for cocaine. I was just having an awful time because my three ex-wives weren't calling me up asking for child support. I was just having a terrible time. All this I'm doing, why it's a way of blessing. Everybody knows it, but you just let your old nature run your life and run you into a damnation of hell, and what a tragedy. So this is a place of inflexible doctrine and strict moral behavior. I want to say that when people love the Lord and enter into a straight gate, they want the Word of God to settle the issue for what truth is. They want the Word of God to settle what's moral and what's immoral. And they intend to live back because the Bible said it, and they take it on themselves with joy. Yes, sir? It's a demanding gate, strict, rigorous. It's not mild, indulgent. How are you going to run this church, preacher, according to the principles of this book? And it's strict. Amen? Huh? Do you want to go the broad way? Well, there's lots of people going the broad way, so there's plenty of choices, plenty of places you can go and join the broad way. But Jesus knew exactly how human beings were going to respond to His truth, and He said, enter in at the straight gate! You want the counsel of Jesus Christ from heaven? Get in the straight gate. It's a demanding gate. And it's a minority gate. Few there be that find it. Why? That is not what people are looking for. That's not what people are looking for. You know yourself. You brought your friends and neighbors to this church. They looked around at you and they noticed that you were dressed right and that ladies looked like ladies and men had haircuts and people had a shave and they knew how to come in out of the rain and they noticed that your life was organized and that you weren't living like the devil. And they said, I can't live that way. I'm not interested in that. I want to tell you, the day that I got saved, I knew that my life needed to change. I didn't know everything that needed to change, but I knew my life was a mess, that sin was running it, and I wanted God to change me. I didn't want to go on like I was. It was a mess. I was living in an apartment in Memphis, Tennessee, and my parents were living 130 miles away, and nobody knew what I was doing, and nobody saw me, and nobody told me what to do or not to do. I could live any way I want, do anything I want within the laws, and stay out of prison. And I'd had enough of that. I didn't get to heaven by living the law. I got to heaven because I trusted Jesus Christ who lived it for me and died in my stead. But I came to Him desiring the transformation only He can give. Enter in at the narrow gate. I knew I had to give up stuff. I was going to live for God. I knew it. I didn't have any delusions about that. I didn't think I could be a Christian, drink, smoke, cuss, chase women. Why? I knew I couldn't live that way if I was going to be a child of God. People don't seem to know that today in America. There was a clear-cut difference between the godly and ungodly in my day. The ungodly were ungodly, and the godly were godly. And if you were ungodly, you were ungodly. If you were godly, you were godly. And that's the way it was. Oh yeah, they're hypocrites, always have been. They weren't held in respect in the church. Today, you don't have to be a hypocrite. They'll tell you you can live in sin and be a good Christian. It's a minority gate. The majority want nothing to do with this gate. And those who enter here are out of step with the majority. I want you to notice, if you would, that gates control access. A gate is a means in or out. You open the gate for those you want in, and you close it for those you don't want in. It opens to something. It is control of access. And these two gates open to two very different ways of life. That is, you enter into a way through a gate. Gate, an avenue, an opening, a way. I want to say, and I want you to get this, don't you miss this. If you're not willing to enter the narrow gate, you will never get in the narrow way that leads unto life. If you don't come like I come saying, my life is a mess and needs to be changed, you'll never get saved. You can't get in that way. Notice it says, straight is the gate, that's the entrance, and narrow is the way. By the way, when you get in that narrow gate, you find the way doesn't get broader. It's just as narrow as it was when you entered. If you insist on coming into the supposed narrow way through the broad gate, you'll never get in. The secret churches are damning people to hell forever. I said forever. They're giving them a false idea. You can come as you are, do as you please, live like you want. We'll entertain you. We'll give away a wild idea. Like I said, the guy, they give away a motorcycle. Another time they give away a house. They give away a house. They have bawdy entertainment and half-dressed women dancing on the stage and wild rock music and neon lights to make you feel comfortable. I could have read it right out of our own material. Biggest church in Atlanta. In fact, it's got, there's three. It's got one main and it's got two others that simply show it on a broad screen. Fastest growing church in Atlanta. Biggest church in Atlanta. And he said, we want everyone to feel totally and absolutely comfortable when they walk in the door. Just as if they walked into the familiar places where they go all the time for entertainment. We want them to feel totally comfortable. That's the atmosphere we want. We want the bar room. We want the theater atmosphere. That's what we want. And then they had people quoting how wonderful it was. They felt so at home when they came to this gathering. Of course, they didn't put the name church on it, but they say it's a church. Of course, they took the name church off because even that offends people. Well, I want to say, if you want to go to the broad way, you'll just have to go to hell. I'm not cursing. I'm not being mean. I'm simply saying what the Bible says. You're not willing to get your life cleaned up and let God transform you into His likeness. You cannot come to God and cling to the world. You've got to come to God as a holy God and say, here I am. I'm a mess and I need your transforming power. Two different ways. And if you're not willing to enter the narrow gates, you can't get in the narrow way that leads to life. Jesus Christ said it. You enter that broad way, it leads to destruction. Well, the broad gate, there's two gates, there's two ways. There's the broad way and there's the way of the Lord, the narrow way. And the broad gate leads to the way of man, to the way of the world, the way that seemeth right. Proverbs 14:12 tells us there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right. It seems like the way to live. Laughing, singing, dancing, reveling, drinking, gambling, seducing, fornicating, and the like. Hollywood and the casino and the beach. This is it. This is real living. When you're young and healthy and you haven't reaped what you've sown, it does certainly seem to be the life, doesn't it? But it leads to the ways of death. Look at it again. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which that leadeth to destruction. Again, well, you can just go on any way you want. You can just be a good member of the church and drink and divorce your wife and beat your children, do whatever you want. Nobody say anything. Nobody ever bring into accountability. Never. It's just not that kind of a narrow way, but it leads to death. And you can only see that error by hearing the Word of God. How can I know that? Listen to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 6:9. How do I ever get my eyes open to the broad way and the destruction of it? By listening to the Word of God. By listening to the principles of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Evidently, many people are. Be not deceived. Evidently, it's easy to be deceived. Evidently, there's a way that seemeth right, and it's deceptive. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Period. Such were some of you. Yes, we went in the different gate and we got changed. We put away those things and began to live in the narrow way, or the way of righteousness, or the way of truth. And we'll look at those terms in a few minutes in the Bible. But this is the way of the world. This is the way of man. This is the way of the flesh. Galatians 5:19, and it's the way that leads to destruction. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This is the way of the flesh, the broad way. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Now I can just stop and say, which of the Hollywood stars are not adulterers? Which of the Hollywood stars are not fornicators? Which of the folks that are held up for our high esteem are not unclean, lascivious? Is not idolatry held up to the worshiping the things of this world? How about witchcraft and the most popular books for children? And on and on and on it goes. I mean, these are the things that are popular. These are things that are acceptable. You can't walk through the checkout line without some hussy's face talking about how she's having this baby and she's not married. Some movie star. Proud of her. Wicked, vile behavior. Setting a standard for the rest of the world, which they slavishly follow. Hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions. Oh, by the way, there's your average detective show, police show, all full of violence and wrath and strife and hatred, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. As Wayne Purcell said, they're spending so much money on gambling they can't afford to, common people can't afford to live in Macau. And I think the same spirit is taking over this country. Literally billions of dollars spent in this country on gambling. An effort to get rich at someone else's expense. That's all it is. Hoping to benefit over someone else's tragedy. And such like, of the which I tell you before, even as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you mean if I get saved, I've got to quit my adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulation and wrath and strife and seditions and heresies and envies and murders and drunkenness and revelings? You mean I can't do any of that stuff? I want to say that when you trust Jesus Christ by faith and enter in the narrow way, you won't want to do any of it. Told you that before, what they said in the Navy when they said, well, we believe what you do. Once you were saved, you could never lose it. And you believe, since you believe that you trusted Christ, you can never, why, we just live like the devil. But you do already. You say you don't believe it, and that's how you live. We just do anything you want. That's the way you're living now. How come you're not living that way? I don't want to. Jesus Christ changed my water. Not through any merit of my own, the grace of God. Amen? And so it controls access to the broad gate leads to the way of the world. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. There's that word again. We read it in Corinthians. Most of the world is deceived. Narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Broad is the way to the straight. Many there be that go in thereat. Yes, they are deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot make fun of God. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. I tell you, that ought to waken people up if they're in the broad way and show them their need of repentance lest they be damned. It's not only the way of the flesh, it's the way of the world. It has the approval of the world, it has the respect of the world, it's promoted by the world, and like the world, it will pass away. 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is of the world, not of the Father, and the world passeth away. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And it's also the way, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, of the false prophet. Actually, the Lord is using several illustrations here to point up the same truth. I could have gone and read about the two men, the wise man that heard the word of God, built his house on the rock, and the fool that heard the word of God and wouldn't do it, built his house on the sand. The issue was one did the word of God and the other didn't do the word of God, and one had his house fall and the other had his house stand. It's all the same truth all the way through. So this is a religious way. Verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, thy name done many wonderful works. I spent 18 years in church, got baptized twice, and was still on my way to hell because nothing ever changed. I've never been born again. It's a religious way. It's the way of the false prophet. It professes to labor in Christ's name, but in reality, notice what it said. I never knew you. I never came to him personally and trusted him as Savior and Lord. He doesn't know them, and they will be cast off. Depart from me. And that departure is into a lake of fire, as the Bible is very clear in the book of Revelation. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a religious way, and it's a deceptive way. The wolves are in sheep's clothing. They can go to their church, and they'll tell you you're okay, and you're fine, do what you want, follow your own conscience, and damn your soul. In Jude chapter 11, it's called the way of Cain. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, it's called the way of Balaam. Two wicked men who turned against God in their self-will. That's the broad gate. It leads the way of man, but the narrow gate is the Lord Jesus himself. Notice it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am what? The way. The way. And the narrow gate leads to the one man who can save your soul. I am the way. The truth and the what? Well, he said, enter at the straight gate because it's the way of life. Who has life besides Jesus Christ? Who could give you eternal life besides him? Who rose from the dead to prove he had it? Not Buddha. Not Mohammed. Not Joe Smith. You go right down the line. They don't have life. They couldn't get it for themselves. Jesus Christ, the one that has life, turn to John chapter 10, verse 7. Enter ye at the straight gate. It's the way of life. It's Jesus himself. He is the door. John 10:1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, that I am the door of the sheep. Well, two ways. The way of man, the way of the flesh, the way of the world, the way everybody's going. Jesus alone, exclusive, him, just him. Is that the only choice? That's the choice. He said, I am the door of the sheep. It's the only way you're going to get in. And those who climb up any other way, verse 1, are thieves and robbers. You see, they're the false prophets. Verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's why we use that word. That's why we say, are you saved? That's the word Jesus used. Saved. Saved from what? From your sin. Saved from destruction. Saved from the broad way. Saved from a wasted life. Those who are God's sheep enter in by the door. Through putting their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, and all others are thieves and robbers, no matter who they are or what they tell you, they're thieves and robbers. They're trying to steal away souls and damn them rather than have them return to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who reconciles men to God by a sacrifice. It is the way of righteousness. Psalm 118. Well, there's the way of the world, the way of man, the way that seemeth right. And then there's the way of righteousness. Psalm 118. You know who you'll find in here? Jesus Christ. Verse 19, open to me the gate of righteousness. Oh yes, know that neither adulterers or fornicators nor idolaters abuse themselves with mankind nor covetous, nor this, nor that, and the other shall enter into the kingdom of God. No, they're not going to enter. They're not going to enter. It's gates of righteousness. If you would be saved, you're going to have to let God conform you to His image. You're going to have to leave behind the world of sin that claimed and scarred your life. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. I want to say folks truly got saved are happy about it. They're not sad they got out of the world. They're not moaning and groaning. If you don't believe it, I hate to use this word, buy our music tapes from a music night and find out we're happy. In fact, if you're real skeptical, I'll give it to you. You can listen to it and then tell me when you get done it. We don't have any joy. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I'll go into them. I'll praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Gate, singular. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Notice, the gate is addressed as a person. The gate is a thee who is our salvation. The stone which the builders refused to become the head of the corner. That was Jesus Christ, the stone which the builders rejected. This is the Lord's doing and marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. He's talking to the gate. Save me. There's that word again. He that will enter in shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Are you saved? Saved by His power divine. Saved by His grace divine. I don't know. Can't remember the words. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Notice the joy in this psalm. It just jumps out. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Talk about spiritual prosperity. Blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Blessed he that came in the name of the Lord is what they cried when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and they laid the palm branches before him and recognized him as Messiah. This is the way to enter. Enter into the way of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:20. You see, gates open to ways. You can't get in the way of righteousness until you come in the narrow gate. 2 Peter 2, verse 20. I'm in 1:20, and that absolutely won't work. Well, it must be 1 Peter 2:20. I've got it wrong. Watch me not find it. Well, I can't find it. I got the wrong one somewhere. What? Was it? I just didn't read it, did I? Well, let me read it. For if after they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness after they'd known it in terms of the holy command and delivered them. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm talking about a gate, but I'm talking about the way of righteousness. Oh, right there, the way of, yeah, I read it. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. There it is. After they've known it, to turn, and the holy commandment delivered unto them. So it's the way of righteousness. That's the gate Jesus admonishes to enter. It's the way of truth. Let's see if I got this one right. 2 Peter 1:1. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and be multiplied in peace through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it's through the righteousness of God. In chapter 2, verse 2, he talks about many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Are you in the way of truth? Are you in the way of righteousness? Hebrews 10 calls it a new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. The Bible speaks about the way. You'll find the truth spread throughout the scripture. The Bible interprets itself. What kind of way is he talking about? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, holiness, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. Now, what is this way, this narrow way? The narrow way is through the fact that Jesus Christ gave his flesh as a sacrifice that he might offer his blood for us on the altar of heaven to cleanse and cover our sins. It's the only way. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. The narrow gate opens to the way of truth, the way of righteousness, through Jesus Christ, the door. Acts 4:10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders. I think we just read that, didn't we? Which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's a narrow way. It's an inflexible way. It's an exclusive way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But I don't like that. I like to think that all religions have some truth. Well, get in the broad way and go to destruction. Well, I know a lot of good people that don't believe that. Well, that doesn't make any difference. It may appear good to you, but within their hearts, they're full of corruption, wickedness, and sin. They're on their way to hell, and they need to get born again through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the way. And there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Two gates confront every man. Wide gate. Room for any belief there. Believe what you want to. Embrace anything. Help yourself. Or the narrow way. Jesus Christ and Him alone. God's only begotten Son was given for sin, and He's the only sacrifice that's acceptable to God. You cannot reject God's holy sacrifice given at tremendous cost and expect Him to forgive your sin. It's wickedness to even think such a thing. Two gates, two ways, two destinations. Enter ye in at the straight gate, verse 13, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. Well, what do you know about it? Well, I'm the creator of the world, so I made heaven and earth, and I know all about hell, and I made it. And I know who's going there, and I know why they're going, because they will not take my forgiveness. It's the place of destruction. If you enter that wide gate and continue in that wide way, you're going to be destroyed. It doesn't matter that everyone's going that way. It doesn't matter that it's wildly popular. It doesn't matter that so many important and seemingly intelligent people recommend it. It will lead to destruction. That's where that way goes. It doesn't go anywhere else, according to the authority of God Almighty Himself speaking through His Son. And the narrow gate leads to life. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Would somebody take care of their phone? This life is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 27. It leads to life. John 10. John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. The life Jesus is speaking about is eternal. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Who are your sheep? Well, your sheep are the ones who enter in at the door. I am the door of the sheep. This gate leads to eternal life in Jesus Christ. When I get Jesus Christ, how can I help but get eternal life? He is eternal. He's living forever. Doesn't matter how thoroughly and consistently it's ridiculed. It still leads to life. Not only eternal life, but Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. It's the blessed and abundant life. It doesn't matter how great the crowds are that leer and mock. It doesn't matter how few there be that find it, as Jesus said. It's still the way of life and blessing. And though Jesus is despised and rejected of men, He will save all who come unto God by Him. All of them. You're sick and tired of the broad way? You're sick and tired of having your life run by sin? You're sick and tired of headed for destruction? I want to say, you will die and burn in hell if you don't come to Jesus Christ. You will die and burn and burn and burn and burn forever in hell if you don't come to Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are or who tells you different. I don't want you to go there, and Jesus doesn't either, and that's why I'm saying it. John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus makes it very clear that you do not have to continue on in the way of destruction. Turn back and go through the narrow gate at your own choosing. After all, he admonished you to enter it, and if you couldn't, why would he have admonished you to? John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Two gates. Two ways. Which way are you in? Which gate have you entered? Which fate awaits you? Eternal life in heaven rejoicing, or damnation forever in hell? One of the two. There are not as many choices as you thought there were. Oh, there are all kinds of choices in the broad way. But basically, it's a choice of rejecting God and living for self. Which gate have you entered? Well, I tell you, you better get in that narrow gate where you can. Because one day it's going to be shut. Luke chapter 13. I haven't time to develop it. The Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ is coming again for those who know Him as Savior. He's coming in the clouds of the sky. He's going to catch us out at the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. I'm going. It can't be too soon as far as I'm concerned. Those who are left behind, the Bible said, if they heard the gospel, they'll never get a chance to be saved. Never. Oh, there will be those who hadn't heard it who will have a chance, but not those who've heard it. Notice Luke chapter 13 and verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Well, we just read it in Matthew. What did we read? Few there be that find it. Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Well, why won't they be able? When once the master of the house is risen up, when Jesus rises up, calls out his own, prepares to come back and set up his kingdom, it's going to be shut. That opportunity of salvation through grace, through faith, is going to be shut. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets, in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust. Come a day when the door is going to be closed. Frankly, I think there can come a day before Jesus comes back when God is fed up with your rejection and closes the door of opportunity for you to be saved. The old timers used to say, sinning away the day of grace. Stubbornly rejecting truth until God is fed up. After all, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. You better heed the advice of Jesus Christ. Enter ye in at the strait gate before it's too late. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that every man and woman here would realize we're confronted with two gates and two ways and two destinations. They either know you as Savior and Lord, they've either turned from their sin, acknowledge the fact that you're a holy God, you're not a God that endorses or tolerates sin, you're a very merciful, forgiving God, but you expect those who come to you to come in repentance, come with an understanding of how they've offended you with their sinful lives, and come seeking forgiveness, which you'll readily grant. not cast out anyone who comes with a repentant spirit. They come to that narrow gate. You will bring them into the narrow way and cause them to rejoice and be blessed as they grow in grace and rest assured in the promise of eternal life. I do pray, O God, that every man and woman would consider where they are. Were born into the broad way, walked in the broad way, lived in the broad way, and they didn't get saved, come to a realization of the mess they were in, entered the straight gate, they're still in the broad way. Oh Lord, I pray you'd make it very clear that by your wonderful grace, some man, some woman, some young person would get delivered from the damnation of sin through faith in thy shed blood this morning. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed. Are you under the blood of Christ?